The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you the new schedule for the Hadley Discussion Groups. From the Blind Post, an advertisement for a new CD by Linda and Rodman Stewart. The Sound Prints for September 4th is now online. And the MCBVI is hosting a 50-50 raffle. That's the Michigan Council for the Blind and Visually Impaired. A Journey Through History Book Club will meet October 1st. The ACB Diabetics in Action moderator, Dee Clayton, has lost her husband, and I will read his obituary. Speaking Out for the Blind is going to be discussing The Veil. Fantasy Book Club will be meeting September 25th. The National Press Club has a video of the panel talk they recently hosted, and that is available. I will read the article from the Press Club and give you the link for that video. Eyes on Success, episode 1937, recently aired on the 5th. Today's reading of Vision News is underwritten by an anonymous gift in loving memory of Joe and Kelly. From Hadley Learning Institute, have you joined in on a Hadley discussion group yet? In these phone-in sessions, our learning experts share tips and insights on a topic. Then we open the phone lines for questions. They are popular and growing in number. But we don't want to clutter your inbox, so please sign up below for each group you like. We will then customize your emails to match. You can email feedback@hadley.edu. The list is Hadley Growers, Gardening for All Senses, that met on the 5th. A Resource Roundtable, Creating Connections, meets September 18th at 6 p.m. Central Time. All times will be central. Get Up and Go, the U.S. Association of Blind Athletes, meets September 19th at 2:30 p.m. Tech It Out meets September 24th at 8 p.m. Travel Talk meets September 25th at 1 p.m. What's Cooking, Not Your Average Sandwich, meets September 25th at 4:30 p.m. Crafting Circle meets October 9th at 1 p.m. Writer's Circle will be discussing NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month, on October 10th at 3:30 p.m. Spanish Chat every Thursday at 10:30 a.m. Embracing Braille every Thursday at 11:30 a.m. You can mail 700 Elm Street, Winnetka, Illinois, 60093, or call 800-323-4238. At the Blind Post, Linda Stewart writes, I am so happy to be able to introduce a disc where my husband Rodman and I sing together. We both love the traditional Christian hymns. We do duets and solos. We want them to be a blessing to others, so we are keeping the price low. $10 for one and $25 for three. Hope you enjoy it and are blessed. The disc is called Hallelujah, What a Savior. Here is the list of songs. 1. Constantly Abiding, a duet. 2. I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say, sung by Linda Stewart. 3. God Leads His Dear Children Along, a duet. 4. Zion's Hill, sung by Rodman Stewart. 5. The 90 and 9, sung by Linda Stewart. 6. Hallelujah, What a Savior, duet. 7. It's Real, sung by Rodman Stewart. 8. Will There Be Any Stars in My Crown, sung by Linda Stewart. 9. Is My Name Written There, duet. 10. I Shall Be Like Him, sung by Rodman Stewart. These songs are accompanied by the organ. Please write to me directly so I don't miss getting your email. Click on the link, linda.lassie903@gmail.com. Or call 859-523-1350. This has been a Blind Post Classified News Extra Extra Notice. Thanks for reading, Lori, also known Food Lady. The Sound Prints Audio Magazine podcast for September 4th is now online. News from Legos, Braille Bricks for Teaching Kids to Read, and Braille and Audio Instructions for Helping People Who Are Visually Impaired to Build with Lego Sets. demo using Lego Braille instructions, and Era to build a model from a kit, articles about more accessibility in Google Docs, emergency broadcasts accessible to people with vision and hearing impairments, and disability rights. http://www.kentucky-acb.org/soundprints. Link to subscribe to the Soundprints audio magazine podcast with the extension .xml. If you have any questions about the Soundprints audio magazine, contact the Kentucky Council of the Blind. Phone 502-895-4598 or email kcb@kentucky-acb.org. Announcing the MCBVI Radio 5050 Raffle. MCBVI stands for the Michigan Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired. This raffle is to raise money for MCBVI Radio. Start date Monday, September 9th, end date Monday, October 7th. The winning number will be drawn on the No Name Show on Tuesday, October 8th. It airs at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern on MCBVI Radio, www.mcbviradio.com. Prizes: $1 per ticket or six tickets for $5, or 15 tickets for $10, or 50 tickets for $25. Payment methods include PayPal. Please use the donation link on www.mcbviradio.com. Or check or money order, please email requests@mcbviradio.com to get the address. How to receive purchased tickets. The physical tickets can be snail mailed to you, or number two, an email can be sent with the ticket numbers listed. This has been a Blind Post Classified News Extra Extra Notice. Thanks for reading, Lori, also known as Food Lady. A Journey Through History will meet on Tuesday, October 1st, 2019, to discuss Custer's Trials, Life on the Frontier of a New America, DB83009, NLS Annotation. Custer's Trials, A Life on the Frontier of a New America, DB83009. Stiles, T.J. Reading time, 23 hours, 47 minutes. Read by Arthur Morey. Biography, War and the Military. The Pulitzer Prize-winning author of The First Tycoon, The Epic Life of Cornelius Vanderbilt, DB70495, examines General George Armstrong Custer's life and often ignored aspects of his legacy, attempting to dismantle Custer's historical caricature. He also details the self-conflict that sometimes resulted from Custer's own efforts. Violence and Descriptions of Sex. Commercial audiobook, copyright 2015, https://nlsbard.loc.gov/nlsbardprod/download/book/src/db83009. Zoom invitation. Join us on October 1st, 2019 at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Join from PC, Mac, Linux, iOS, or Android at https://zoom.us/j/177809772. iPhone OneTap 1408638098 :177809772 # or +164687699239 :177809772 # Telephone in the U.S. +1408638096 or +1646876992 Meeting ID is 177809772. International numbers available at https://zoom.us/u/YCQ4DRN. Podcast feed. Those wishing to subscribe to past Journey Through History program archives can do so using their mobile device and podcast app of choice, or using their computers and podcatcher program of choice. The link with which to subscribe is http://accessibleworld.org/taxonomy/term/number2/all/feed. Special note, if you wish to subscribe to our one-way announce list, please write to aw-announcements plus subscribe at groups.io. Here is the obituary for D. Clayton's husband. Richard Lee Clark, age 83, passed away Thursday, September 5th, 2019, at Acura Healthcare of Pleasantville, Iowa. Richard was born August 26, 1936, in Winterset, Iowa, to Robert Herman and Mary Marshall Clark. He graduated from Winterset High School, where he played on the football team. He had been a resident of the Des Moines area since 1957, moving to Pleasantville in 2006. Richard worked in the printing department for K.R. Brown Engineering for 22 years, retiring in the early 1980s. He enjoyed watching TV and playing solitaire. He is survived by his wife Delia, D. A. Clayton, children Carolyn, married to Rick Martelli, Sandra Feldman, married to Larry Dietz, and Arthur, married to Nancy Clayton. 10 grandchildren, 8 great-grandchildren, and his sister, Elizabeth Jane Ward. Richard was preceded in death by his parents, Robert and Mary Clark, grandson William Feldman, and brother Robert Clark. There will be a graveside service at IOOF Cemetery in Indianola, Iowa, at noon on Friday, September 13, 2019. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made directly to the family. Condolences may be expressed at www.hamiltonsfuneralhome.com. Signed, Becky Dunkerson, ACBDA Secretary. On Wednesday, September 11th, Speaking Out discussed The Veil. There's a new video game for the blind and visually impaired with lots of action and fantasy. The game follows a young blind sister who was sheltered for most of his childhood, and he goes on an exciting adventure. The game's creator, Dave Evans, tells us more about that adventure. To listen to this week's Speaking Out for the Blind, go to http://acbradio.org/mainstream and choose one of the links under the headings. Listen to ACB Radio Mainstream and Now Playing, or call 1-641-793-0756, and when prompted, press 1 for ACB Radio Mainstream. You may also listen to the program live on the ACB Link mobile app. For more information, go to http://link.acb.org. Show archive page is at http://acbradio.org/speaking-out-for-the-blind. Please note that there is a link located at the top half of the page and below the heading that says Home, Speaking Out for the Blind, where you can subscribe to the podcast feed and listen to Speaking Out for the Blind shows, ranging from episode 94 to the present. Facebook page is at Speaking Out for the Blind, and Twitter page is at Speak Out for the Blind. You may also access this at Speak Out Blind. My new show email address is speakout@acbradio.org. The Fantasy Book Club will be held on the fourth Wednesday of the month, Wednesday, September 25th, 2019, at 9 p.m. Eastern. We will continue the format of having everybody read a book and discuss their book of choice with the group. We will be using Zoom. The relevant info is https://zoom.us/j/56111-2974. iPhone one tap plus 1408638098 56111-2974 hashtag, or plus 1646876992 56111-2974 hashtag. Telephone 1-408-638-0986 or 1-646-876-9923 and use the meeting ID 561-112-974. International numbers available at https://zoom.us/u/D-F-T-S-U-K-Y-I-D. Julia Kulak, Group Facilitator, julia.kulak@gmail.com. The National Press Club has recently released a video of their panel talk about hiring the disabled people. To access the video, it is https://u.be/m(JWOVHDU6A). The article at press.org reads, Harkin calls on companies to hire those with disabilities as panel says new technology can help pave the way. Posted September 5th, 2019 by Louise D. Walsh, L.D. Walsh at earthlink.net. Former U.S. Senator Tom Harkin urged employers Wednesday to hire more workers with disabilities, saying the largest minority group in America is still being discriminated against on a daily basis. Harkin, an Iowa Democrat and chief sponsor of the 1990 Americans with Disabilities Act, told a National Press Club newsmakers event that almost 11 million adults with disabilities remain outside the workforce, despite new technology to assist them. According to a recent Accenture report, Getting to Equal, the Disability Inclusion Advantage, persons with disabilities are an untapped market and strikingly underemployed. As of July 2018, only 29% of Americans between ages 16 and 64 with disabilities participated in the workforce, compared with 75% of Americans without a disability. The report suggested the GDP could get a boost up to $25 billion if just 1% more of persons with disabilities joined the U.S. labor force. Google Vice President Vinton Cerf demonstrated his phone's live transcribe feature that instantly printed his spoken words. He and his wife will use it in a restaurant to better communicate. Another panelist, Greg Vanderheiden, professor and director of the Trace R&D Center at the University of Maryland, said he was concerned that complex technology was disabling people with the complexity of what we design. And Kim Charlson, the first woman president of the American Council of the Blind and now executive director of the Perkins Library at the Perkins School for the Blind, called for an inclusive mindset because the invisible barriers can be the hardest to overcome. She said it was important to include accessibility in a product's early design phase rather than trying to add it later. One of her concerns is that new rules don't keep us out, like requiring a driver's license for autonomous vehicles, thus preventing blind individuals from using them on their own. Eyes on Success, episode 1937, aired September 11, 2019. Starting a Small Business. Show notes. Patty Fletcher operates Tell It to the World Marketing, a company that assists in outreach efforts for others. Edward Cohen's company, Easy to See Products, makes and sells calendars for people with low vision. Hosts Nancy and Peter Torpy talk with Patty and Edward, both of whom are blind, about how they work together and Patty's role in growing Edward's business. The audio and show notes can be found at www.eyesonsuccess.net. And the podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Now you can listen to Eyes on Success on your smart home device by saying play Eyes on Success podcast. Check out Eyes on Success, formerly Viewpoints, a weekly half-hour audio program for people living with vision loss. Find out more about the show and get links to past episodes at www.eyesonsuccess.net. Here's the article I didn't have time to read last week. UK teen went blind on diet of mostly junk food by Teresa Brain for the New York Daily News. Posted 9/8/2019 in the NNO. A teenage boy who subsisted primarily on junk food went blind from his poor diet, according to a new study. The 17-year-old who lives in the United Kingdom first went to the doctor at age 14, complaining of tiredness, the Annals of Internal Medicine wrote in the study abstract. By the time his doctors discovered that nutrition was the probable cause, his vision was irrevocably damaged. Though he was a self-described fussy eater, the teen was healthy in all other respects and wasn't on any medication, said researchers at the University of Bristol in England. Tests showed he had a form of anemia and low vitamin B12 levels. After B12 injections and dietary advice, the doctor sent him home. However, it did not end there. A year later, the boy, who was then 15, had hearing loss and vision symptoms, but doctors couldn't find a cause, the researchers said in a statement. 2 years after that, he was 17 and legally blind. That's when they discovered a severe vitamin B12 deficiency, low copper and selenium levels, high zinc levels, and markedly reduced vitamin D and bone mineral density, the researchers said. He revealed that his diet consisted mainly of Pringles, French fries, white bread, and occasionally some processed meats like ham and sausage. Since starting secondary school, the patient had consumed a limited diet of chips, crisps, white bread, and some processed pork, the researchers said. By the time the patient's condition was diagnosed, the patient had permanently impaired vision. Researchers determined that the youth had given himself a case of nutritional optic neuropathy, with his near-exclusive consumption of junk food. They said such cases could rise given the world's reliance on processed foods, but they also pointed to veganism as a possible eroder of vitamin B12 levels, which could also lead to malnutrition. About 2 million people around the world are subject to deficiencies in micronutrients, study co-author Denise Atan, an ophthalmologist at Bristol Medical School and Bristol Eye Hospital, told Newsweek. But health professionals tend to downplay or be unaware of the link between nutrition, diet, and visual health. Nutritional optic neuropathy, also known as deficiency optic neuropathy, is a dysfunction of the optic nerve resulting from improper dietary content of certain nutrients, essential for normal functioning of the nerve fibers, says the U.S. National Institutes of Health. Most commonly, it results from folic acid and vitamin B complex deficiency associated with malnutrition or poor dietary habits, incorrectly applied vegetarian diet, or chronic alcohol abuse. If treated early, nutritional optic neuropathy can be reversed. The research team recommended that dietary history should also be obtained during physical examinations, in the same way that it's routine to ask about smoking and alcohol intake. This may avoid a diagnosis of nutritional optic neuropathy being missed or delayed, as some associated visual loss can fully recover if the nutritional deficiencies are treated early enough, the researchers said. The study drew some criticism from scientists who said it did not definitively prove a cause and effect relationship. Vitamin B12 deficiency can cause optic neuropathy, but it is very unusual to find dietary deficiency when animal products are consumed, for example, ham and sausages, which are a significant sources of the vitamin B12, he told the Science Media Center in London, according to CNN. Even the researchers noted it was an extreme example, but they said at the very least it shows that nutritional deficits can take many guises. This case highlights the impact of diet on visual and physical health, and the fact that calorie intake and BMI are not reliable indicators of nutritional status, Etan said in the researchers' statement. On BoardPanda.com, blind engineer invents a smart cane that uses Google Maps to help blind people navigate, by Angelica Jasvichuti from the Board Panda staff. Today, many products have been reinvented through technology. From smart planters to smart TVs, the power of technology doesn't surprise us anymore. While many of the newest technological creations are dedicated to entertainment, there are many which contribute to our well-being, especially to those who experience a disability of some sort. Recently, a revolutionizing smart cane called WeWalk has been introduced to help blind people navigate their surroundings much more efficiently when they are on their own. The cane was invented by visually impaired engineer Kirsat Ceylan, who is the CEO and co-founder of Young Guru Academy, YGA, the Turkish nonprofit behind WeWalk. Being blind himself, Ceylan knows firsthand that challenges people like him face, and decided to put his knowledge into inventing something that could greatly improve people's life. His name is spelled Kurshat Ceylan. These days, people are talking about flying cars, but the blind have been using just a plain stick. As a blind person, when I'm at the metro station, I don't know which is my exit. I don't know which bus is approaching, which stores are around me. That kind of information can be provided with the WeWalk, he told CNN. The smart cane assists visually impaired people using smart technology, some of which we use every day. Available on the WeWalk website, the cane runs around $500. Here is further information from WeWalk.io. WeWalk Smart Cane, $499. WeWalk attaches to the traditional white cane, transforming it into an innovative smart cane. This technology increases visually impaired people's independence and promotes full participation in society via three of its features. 1. Detects obstacles. WeWalk detects obstacles above chest level with an ultrasonic sensor and vibrates when these objects are near. Number 2. Paired with phone. When paired with the WeWalk mobile app via Bluetooth, the user can use applications with WeWalk's touchpad without holding his or her phone. For example, the user can get navigation on the WeWalk device. Number 3. Involves with integrations. WeWalk is integrated with Google Maps and Voice Assistant. In the future, WeWalk will be integrated with transportation applications and rideshare applications. These new integration features are installed through periodic software updates. The specs and technical details follow on the website if you want to navigate to wewalk.io. Last week, Speaking Out for the Blind discussed the veil, and I decided to investigate the website for it. Canadian studio Falling Squirrel is making the best game you'll never see by Eric Switzer, posted August 17th. Game studio Falling Squirrel is developing a narratively driven game that players have never seen before and never will. That's because their game, The Veil, is a purely auditory experience. There is no visual component to the game whatsoever. Players will navigate through an open world, interact with different characters, and engage in combat, all without ever being able to see the world around them. For our ongoing series about accessibility and audio games, we spoke with several members of the Falling Squirrel team to learn more about The Veil and their journey in creating the first game designed specifically for both a sighted and a visually impaired audience. The Veil is a concept born out of necessity. When Falling Squirrel founder David Evans decided to shift away from his game cinematography career to focus on designing his own games, and the narratively driven game ideas he had were, for an indie studio just starting out, cost prohibitive. That's when genius struck, as David explains. At a certain point, I wanted to do some stuff with narrative that was probably pretty expensive. The idea of having a lot of characters or tangential storylines that a producer would normally shut you down on. I thought, what if I made an audio-based game? Really, just try out interesting narrative functions and mechanics. As an audio-only game, it made sense to David for the character to also be blind. And while originally conceived as an interesting experience for sighted players, it became apparent to David that he had an opportunity to make a uniquely accessible game for the visually impaired. Falling Squirrel then partnered with the Canadian National Institute for the Blind, who immediately latched on to the idea. David explained why The Veil stood out to the community. I went to the CNIB, and they were very receptive and excited that someone was making something that aspired to be AAA quality. It's pretty few and far between when it comes to big projects. There are quite a few audio games, but they're little games. Twitchy games, puzzle games, racing games. Please read more at thegamer.com. We've run out of time today for Vision News. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please call 919-832-5138 if you have any comments or questions. So long until next time.